the talk of planet Earth.
Now, are you ready?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
New message.
It's showtime.
TalkZone.com.
This is Stop and Think Radio, a sane signal in an insane world. Stop and Think Radio is the show that takes recovery mainstream, because we're all recovering from something. Now, your co-hosts for Stop and Think Radio, here are Tim Horton and Al Matulowicz on TalkZone.com.
Welcome to another edition of Stop and Think Radio, and today we're going to be talking about the grand theft of childhood. In other words, what might be happening because of video games with regard to our youth. With me, of course, Al Matulowicz. Al, this is a really interesting situation here.
This is a very scary situation. I mean, when we have documentary evidence from Mass General Hospital and Harvard Medical School, you know, not going to play elitist, but these are pretty legitimate outfits. And with the statistics that they've compiled, it confirms what we said in earlier programs back in the beginning of our radio career.
You know what really just shocks me is that the hypotheses that we came up with seem to be right spot on according to some of this research we're seeing right now.
Well, we came out of the box saying E is greater than MC squared. Everything we've seen in the media, through the research, through the internet, confirms that. Then we were casting out a warning, watch out, because if you have a glaze in your eyes for entertainment, then when the economy shakes, you won't be ready. Of course, just coincidence, within 60 days, the economy started to shake exactly as we predicted. Yeah. So I would hope that people would take to heart what we have to say, because it seems that the facts and history are proving we know what we're talking about.
A book was published back in 2008, last year, written by Dr. Lawrence Kuttner and Dr. Cheryl Olson. It's called Grand Theft Childhood, The Surprising Truth About Violent Video Games. They are from Mass General's Psychiatric Center and Harvard Medical. They're both from there. Their book is published by Simon & Schuster. This is the real thing, kids, and we're going to talk about it. Moms and dads, gather around. This may be some of the most important information you hear this year on the radio. We're talking about video games and really do they affect our kids. First off, there are a lot of different kinds of video games, but you see kids playing video games. Why do they play? In the book, they cite a lot of different reasons, but the main reason is it's fun. And this shows you, sure, a game is supposed to be fun. That's great. However, here are some of the other reasons. It's something to do because I'm bored. I like to figure out things. It helps me relax. I like guns and other weapons. These are kids. Now, how do they know they like guns and other weapons? That's what I want to know. They create their own world. It allows me to create my own world. I can forget my problems. I can get out my anger. And my friends like to play. I feel less lonely. These are the reason kids are going now and cloistering themselves in their own world. Al, do you see a danger, first of all, in our young people going into this surreal world?
Absolutely. In fact, we'd encourage people to go to the site, which says click videos. And we have a video up there, linked to YouTube, called Virtual Reality Present Danger. And we explain the exact sociology and psychology of what's happening here. These kids are stepping out of mainstream existence into a world of surreality that is obviously preferable to them. It doesn't have all of the hardships and having to clean up your room and this and that of real life. And let's face it, people have a natural tendency to suffer from the disease of more and go where the pleasure is, away from the pain. And so they keep going and going to these games. It reinforces it, becomes a choice, then a habit, then a bondage.
And we're going to be tracing that. As a matter of fact, how often do kids play? That's one thing we want to look at right now.
I'd like to know that myself.
All right. Playing 6 or more hours a week. 45% of all boys and 14% of all girls play 6 or more times a week. Now, playing 6 or more hours per week. Playing 15 or more hours a week, it jumps down to 13%. Now, these kids were surveyed, and they were asked how often do you play? I wonder how many straight answers they got in the survey.
Assume for the sake of argument that it's accurate and reduce it from 13% to 10. What's the pool? How many million?
Yeah, you know, the survey pool I don't have right here.
You know as well as I. You're talking about millions of kids, even if only at the 10% level.
There we go. 1,254
is the sample size.
Is the sample size of the statistical.
Which reinforces other statistics of larger samples that we've seen where the amount of television viewing is 3.5 to 4 to 4.5 hours per day per individual in the United States. You add on top of that the video games. These people are living their lives primarily stuck in front of a screen.
And by the way, yes, that's true. They even cite that here. But another thing, the sample size, the 1,254, are 13-year-olds only. This is just a 13-year-old. They took the beginning of the teens. But what games? Well, Grand Theft Auto is the number one game that the kids play. 44%. Now, here's a description of Grand Theft Auto. They have, and this is the regulatory group that regulates video games. They say there's blood and gore, intense violence, strong language, strong sexual content, and the use of drugs promoted in Grand Theft Auto. 44% of this
13-year-olds are absorbing this.
That's frightening. That's frightening. Number two is Madden NFL football. Now, I used to think, well, that's quite innocuous. Football's a good thing. But kids get lost in becoming the quarterback who goes to the Super Bowl.
Do you watch the commercials? They'll show them for the fantasy leagues or the Madden games. And the guy will come right out in the commercial and say, my priorities are Madden, football, and then my wife, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a joke, you know, it's a commercial. But that's the point of it. There are people who actually buy into that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And their false god, well, you know, you're talking ordained pastor here, you know, their false god is the Madden football or the EA or the whatever other interactive sports game. Well, that's the sickness of it.
One of the bad things is, and probably the worst thing, is it becomes an obsession.
Yeah.
It becomes where we go when we want to escape. Now, remember, one of our common denominators in all addictions is the escapism of the addiction. Alcoholics go get alcohol because they want to escape and self-medicate. You said that,
right? That's right.
Can you see this as self-medication?
Of course. Any port in a storm, if you don't want to face reality, where will you go? How about to some place that isn't reality, that's got plenty of bells and whistles, got fancy colors, companies have spent multiple millions of dollars to set this up, so this ain't like the pinball machines that we were playing with as a kid. This is ultra highly sophisticated, and it's what? It's teaching you skills, like how to shoot a gun, like how to rob a car, like how to beat the cops, like how to smack that girl around, mm-hmm. and all of these other social skills. Give me a break.
Rounding out the top five, by the way, the first two, Grand Theft Auto, Madden NFL. Number three is something called Halo, which is blood, gore, and violence. 28% play that. NBA is the next one. And then Tony Hawk, which is the skateboarding thing. Which is very dangerous, they say, because kids
start to imitate the tricks.
They play Tony Hawk and they think they can do that 360 on the pike and all that pipe and all that stuff.
Now, come on, folks. I'm a kid in the late 50s, early 60s. Don't you think that I tried to imitate what I saw on TV? Now, in those days, they had black and white war movies. So I can remember after watching Darby's Rangers, I had my father rig this rope thing between two trees so I could pretend to be training for Darby's Rangers. Right? That's a mild, innocuous example. But when you have these types of things, like the World Wrestling, where kids at 7 years of age are being up for murder because they're jumping on people's back and breaking them because they saw it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Life imitates art.
It does. You're listening to Stop and Think Radio. Today we're talking about the surprising truth about violent video games, the book Grand Theft Childhood from Dr. Lawrence Kuttner and Dr. Cheryl Olson from Mass General here in the Boston region. A very, very interesting expose on what's going on in video games. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're a mom and a dad and you've said, listen, these guys go on and on about everything, they're just video games. We're going to prove to you that when your kids sit in front of these things long enough, it will actually shape their values. And if a video game is shaping values, we definitely have problems with that, because these video games, some of them are absolutely hideous.
I'll give you two quick precedents. One in real life. The Red Chinese, brainwashed. Remember that Manchurian Candidate movie that I've mentioned? Mm. What were they showing to brainwash the guy? The same kind of images you see in a lot of MTV videos.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
So that's the real life proof of this stuff.
In their research, Drs. Kuttner and Olson came up with this information, Al, and I want you to comment on this after I mention each one. The perpetrator in violent video games is always attractive and a role model.
Look at what we've seen before our eyes. Did John Wayne ever play a bad guy?
I don't remember.
You know what I'm saying? To certain figures, they were heroic figures, and so we looked up to them and culturally identified with them.
Mm-hmm.
But now, everybody wants to play Heath Ledger and do that dark, demented role. John Travolta enjoys playing villains more than good guys and this mm-hmm. and that. And it warps the thinking. You know, John Travolta is a mature man. You know, he's going to Scientology. He's trying to reach CLIA. He has some degree of mental health. But when you make these movies to an impressionable 12-year-old who's lived in a virtual world for the last 3 or 4 years, he has no standards or understanding.
Well, think of this. Here's a kid, maybe not physically gifted at all, maybe is bullied by other people. For 3 hours on a Saturday night, he can become a quarterback that wins the Super Bowl. I mean, it puts him, it projects him into a fantasy world
And the one that I'm more concerned about is he goes into Beowulf, gets a mythical sword, and he takes out his rage slaying all these dragons. But that's all fantasy. And what happens, how's he going to learn to cope when that Monday they're pushing him around? Next thing you know, he's going on the site saying, maybe those Columbine guys had a good idea.
Yeah.
This is what it leads to.
In a moment, we'll have some kids' comments, actual quotes on what they say about this. The perpetrator is attractive. Secondly, violence is seen as justified. In all of these violent video games, including the sniper ones and the U.S. combat ones, the one who shoots and perpetrates the violence... The violence is justified. It's okay. It's the right thing to do. That certainly sends a ridiculous message.
Well, unless we want to breed a generation of vigilantes.
Yeah. Violence is realistic. There are real-life weapons in many of these games, such as M1s, M16s.
Let this card-carrying ACLU guy set people straight. The NRA says guns don't kill people. People do. That is true. Because I was raised where there were guns all over the place. My father was a life member of the NRA. We had at one time maybe 30 or 50 rifles, 30 or 50 pistols. And they were treated as what they were, weapons, with respect and seriousness. I never had a problem with guns, even though I could field strip a 45 caliber automatic when I was 10 years of age, blindfolded, because we didn't have TV back then, so you needed something to do at night.
Had to have something to do, Al.
And so that's the thing is that when they've got these realistic weapons that are automatic weapons and flamethrowers and stuff like this, it perverts the thinking of these kids.
Yeah. And next, the violence itself is rewarded or at least not punished. In other words, the object of the game is to kill somebody and then you can score. Now, I'm not a pacifist. I'm not one of these people who say, oh, you know, we must sit down and hook our fingers together and go, I'm not, but I don't believe that we should be setting up rules where you win the game if you shoot somebody in the head.
Well, I've said this in the air early on in our career, that I had seen a commercial for a video game. And the commercial starts off in the basement of a church. And it's like a 12-step. It's a recovery meeting, and it's recovering from video games. And they're giving this guy a 60-day chip because he had gone 60 days without this new greatest Xbox or whatever kind of game. He leaves. He's happy. It's a nice day. Everything looks pleasant. And as he's walking down the street, he goes by the store, and the game starts calling out to him. And pretty soon his eyes are dilated and he's blubbering and he's drooling and he can't hold it back and he runs in the store and grabs the game and the announcer's saying, see how great this is? It's so addictive that even, you know, you just can't stop using this game. What is the depraved indifference of these people in the advertising to come up with a gimmick to defile and be sacrilegious, if you want to call it that way, about the whole concept of recovery, that you're making fun of it. That this stuff is so addictive that even if you tried to recover from it, you couldn't. That's sick. That's mental sickness.
On its face, this is addictive. But secondly, moms and dads generally are totally unaware as to what the kids are playing. We'll prove that coming up in just a moment. And when we return, we'll talk more about the violent aspect of video games, the adult themes that enable children to emancipate themselves into this virtual world.
They can act like adults even though they're not. That's scary.
And some of the things that we're going to come out with, we didn't write this stuff. We're just reporting on it.
This blame is going, Harvard. This is all from Harvard and Mass General, so blame them.
Stop and Think Radio is on the air. Contact us if you'd like to at 888-446-5234. That is toll free across the U.S., 888-446-5234. And of course, our website, full of resources for you and for you to become a part of the Stop and Think Army, stopandthinkradio.com. That's stopandthinkradio.com. We will return in just a moment. Times are tough, and we are mobilizing. Al, tell us about the Stop and Think Radio On Demand Army.
You're exactly right. We are mobilizing. We've got an email catcher to try to get you to come on to ask for a newsletter. And in the newsletter, one of the pages of it is a recruitment form to join the Stop and Think Radio On Demand Army. Nothing unusual. We're trying to make this fun. And you're going to get a uniform. We'll give you a T-shirt with the stopandthinkradio.com.
How about a communicator? Can we communicate with Scotty or Spock?
Well, eventually, hopefully, we'll get up to the,
right.
that level.
I'm liking this. I'm liking this. But part of the army.
What it is that you're voting for the idea of radio on demand. You're voting for the idea of recovery going mainstream. And you're voting for the idea of us trying to get our numbers. That's why we're trying to recruit an army, to get the numbers up there so we're a significant force to try to influence a major network to air the program of Walking America Through the Steps of Recovery. That's all.
It's all the cause. Here's how you get there. It's very simple. Stopandthinkradio.com. Go to your browser, stopandthinkradio.com. You will find out a wealth of information, including all of our radio programs archived. Stopandthinkradio.com. You'll get the newsletter and you'll get the T-shirt absolutely free. Just go to stopandthinkradio.com. Stopandthinkradio.com. Or you can call us right here at 888-446-5234. 888-446-5234. Become a part of the Army, the Stop and Think Army. StopandThinkRadio.com.